Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The so-called loss that you say you have suffered doesn't even compare to the loss of a child.
Jennifer and James Crumbley have officially been sentenced after being convicted for their son carrying out a mass shooting. From incredibly heart-wrenching and powerful victim impact statements to the words of the defendants themselves to the judge's decision, we are going to break down this highly emotional day in court. Welcome to Sidebar, presented by Law & Crime. I'm Jesse Weber. We have now come to the official conclusion of the Jennifer and James Crumbley saga, and what an end it was. These, of course, are the Michigan parents who were each convicted in their own separate trials of involuntary manslaughter for failing to prevent their then 15-year-old son from opening fire at Oxford High School in November of 2021, a shooting that resulted in the deaths of 4 people, Madison Baldwin, Hannah St. Juliana, Tate Meir, and Justin Schilling. And while their son is behind bars for life, it was a fascinating legal question of whether they would be held criminally responsible, and they were. Remember, they purchased the gun for their son just days before the shooting. They failed to secure it. They ignored clear warning signs showing their son was very troubled. Even on the day of the shooting, hours before he opened fire, they didn't take him out of school after they were shown these disturbing drawings that he illustrated on his math worksheet. Blood everywhere. My life is useless. Drawings of a gun and a bullet. The prosecution proved that these were neglectful parents who were preoccupied with themselves, and they were ultimately convicted each of 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter for each one of the people who were killed. And it became a question now of what would be their sentence, what would be their punishment. Now, under Michigan's sentencing guidelines, it is our understanding the punishment would be about 7 years in prison. But prosecutors were asking to go beyond that. They were looking for the maximum of 10 to 15 years in prison. And the Crumbleys, they were seeking less than 5 years. James actually asking for time served. Jennifer Crumbley, very interestingly, was asking for house arrest, but to actually live with her lawyer in her guest house. Can't say I've heard that one before, but with all that in mind, let's talk about the sentencing hearing, because it really was something. And I say that because one of the things that really stands out about that day were the incredibly powerful victim impact statements. Now, victim impact statements are a chance for the court to hear from friends and family members of the victims, people whose lives will forever be impacted by the crimes committed by defendants. And a judge will use these statements in determining an appropriate sentence, unless, of course, the sentence is mandatory by law, like if it was life in prison. But here, as I mentioned, the judge does have some discretion. Now, I will tell you, I cover, unfortunately, these kinds of statements a lot, and they are always tough to hear. But the ones that we heard in that Michigan courtroom were just absolutely devastating and honestly incredibly resonating. There were things that were said in that Michigan courtroom that I know will stay with me when I think back about victim impact statements. So let me start this off with Madison Baldwin's mom.
My mind keeps going back to something during the trials. It was when Jennifer said, "I wouldn't do anything different." I'm putting a little emphasis on different, as I know life throws us things that are out of our control. I want to compare a few things to see through my perspective. As I know things are different about the events and how we see them, while your son was hearing voices and asking for help, I was helping Madison pick out her senior classes. While you were purchasing a gun for your son and leaving it unlocked, I was helping her finish her college essays. When you texted, "Ethan, don't do it," I was texting Madison, "I love you, please call mom." You show no remorse, no respect or compassion for our family. The same traits that you've bestowed upon your son The traits that have torn my family into pieces. The lack of compassion that you've shown is outright disgusting. Not only did your son kill my daughter, but you both did as well. The words involuntary should not be a part of your offense. Everything you did that day, months prior, and days after were voluntary acts of your son to commit a murder. Not just one, but multiple. Shaking your head during a verdict is the utmost disrespectful thing I have ever witnessed. At that moment, you felt your life is more valuable than my daughter's. I will say that will never be true. You created a life that you took for granted. You decided that parenting wasn't a priority. Putting your child first should be the only priority. You didn't, and because of that, I've lost my daughter.
That theme of the Crumbleys not appreciating their son, almost not wanting to be parents, that was highlighted also by Jill Suave, the mother of Justin Schilling.
It is devastating and heartbreaking that it doesn't appear that either of you cherished or even wanted your son. But I wholeheartedly wanted and cherished mine. You have failed your son and you have failed us all. This failure had deadly consequences that can never be undone, that can never be made right.
So as you're seeing these really pointed attacks at the Crumbleys, you have to say this is understandable, right? They are saying it was your fault. You could have stopped this. This could have been prevented. And these family members were asking for the maximum sentence for the Crumbleys. That included Raina St. Juliana, the sister of victim Hannah St. Juliana. She actually thought the max was not long enough. And she seems to catch what appears to be Jennifer Crumbley doing something in court that really upset her.
Our 10-year-old little brother had to learn how to write a eulogy for his sister before he even learned how to write essays. I met up with Hannah and a friend during school that day. When we split ways to go back to class, I just looked back and smiled. I didn't say goodbye. I never got to say goodbye. I never got to remind her that I love her, that she's my everything, the person I want to walk through life with side by side. I thought our future was a given. The fact is, no matter what you try to make yourself believe, Jennifer, you did fail as a parent, both of you. To me, that makes the maximum sentence being 15 years too short. Han didn't even have 15 years to live. Jennifer, you stated that even after knowing everything you know now, you wouldn't do anything different. I cannot fathom that. I would do anything to hear her footsteps coming up the stairs. You don't have to roll your eyes, it's on video that she said that. One day, I hope you would have chosen to care for your son, teach him how to love and to be loved, that you would not choose to buy the bullets that enter children's bodies, that you would not choose to omit relevant, important information to the counselor Sean Hopkins and Dean of Students Nicholas Ejak that could have helped their incompetent brains and one shared brain cell to decide to act and search the backpack. That you wouldn't still choose to hide from accountability when you're the reason we had to hide for our lives. That you would choose to save Hannah, Justin, Tate, and Madison.
Now, we don't know if Jennifer Crumbley or someone at her table was rolling her eyes, but that is just so heartbreaking. So heartbreaking, so compelling. Cases like this one really make you think about the people in your life, who's around you, what are they about? Well, there is a service that can help you learn the reality about the people in your life, and that is truthfinder.com, great sponsor of ours. Honestly, what an amazing service that can provide actual safety for you guys. Why do I say that? Because Truthfinder is one of the largest public record search services in the whole world. Here's how it works. You go on their website, truthfinder.com, and you type in a name. Let's say you're going on a date with a complete stranger, right? Let's say that person is me, Jesse Weber. I'm married. This is a hypothetical. You get the idea. You wouldn't want to go out with me anyway. It's not great. Anyway, so you type in my name, and within minutes, you get access to reports that include information like phone numbers, addresses, associates, criminal history. No, I don't have one, but you get the idea. And you know what's really useful is if you type in an address, let's say you're about to move, or let's say you're just home address right now, it tells you registered sex offenders that may live in that area too. That's the point. Unless you use Truthfinder, you may never know what's really going on with the people around you. And that also includes, let's say you meet somebody new on social media, or if you're buying something from someone online and you want to check out who this person is. Or what about just trying to reconnect with old friends or family members you haven't seen in a while? You can use Truthfinder. You can use it to track them down. So with that in mind, right now you can get 50% off of confidential background reports. Just go to truthfinder.com/LC sidebar. Hope you check it out. There were more incredibly touching and powerful victim impact statements, but it did come time for Jennifer Crumbly to speak, and she had some things to say.
Ethan, I knew, was a good, quiet kid. He loved his pets, family vacations. My husband and I used to say we had the perfect kid. I truly believed that, and that's who I saw and thought I knew. Not only were you left in the dark about previous concerning behavior, but in the counselor's office that morning, none of those previous issues were brought to our attention. I can't stop thinking, had they have been, the conversation that morning would have been much different. That we would have taken a deep dive into what's really been going on with my son. We felt confident in trusting the professional's advice to let him stay in school that day. Quote, he does not pose a threat to himself or others. It was suggested that him being around peers would probably be good. We agreed. We were never asked to take him home that day. Ethan could be your child, could be your grandchild, your niece, your nephew, your brother, your sister. Your child can make a fatal decision, not just with a gun, but a knife, a vehicle, intentionally or unintentionally. If there's anything the general public can take away from this, is that this could happen to you too.
Doesn't sound like she really accepted that she did something wrong, right? Now, on one hand, maybe that's not surprising because she will probably appeal her case and doesn't want to say anything that could jeopardize that, perhaps. But at the same time, this was her moment to show remorse, to acknowledge her guilt, to acknowledge that she could have done something differently. And it doesn't feel right considering that she was convicted. But she did take a moment to address that point that was brought up, that during her trial, when she was on the stand, she said she wouldn't do anything differently. And I remember at the time, that was very controversial that she said that. Your son killed four people, you wouldn't do anything differently? Here's a response during her sentencing.
When I was on the stand, I was asked if I would have done anything different. I was horrified to learn my answer I would not have was completely misunderstood. That answer is true because my son did seem so normal. I didn't have a reason to do anything different. This was not something I foresaw. That was the intention of my answer and how I interpreted the question. With the benefit of hindsight and information I have now, my answer would be drastically different. If I even thought my son would be capable of crimes like these, things would have absolutely been different.
Now, she also asked that the judge take into consideration that she's been locked up for months and to find a fair and just sentence.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
But then we heard from James Crumbly. Let's hear what he had to say.
I want to say I can't imagine the pain and agony that the families that have lost their children and what they're experiencing and what they're going through. As a parent, our biggest fear is losing our child or our children. And to lose a child is unimaginable. My heart is really broken for everybody involved. If I could go back and change things, if I could go back and do things differently, and maybe none of us would be here today. So again, I ask your honor to impose a just and fair sentence based on the truth about what you heard during my trial. I'm asking the court to sentence me to time served and place me on probation for the maximum time allowed with the GPS tether.
So he says that he would do things differently. He didn't testify at his trial, so he wasn't caught in that state. But here's the thing about James Crumbly that we have to highlight. We learned that in a pre-sentencing memo prepared by the prosecution, they cited these jailhouse phone calls from James where he allegedly not only made statements showing a, quote, chilling lack of remorse, but he allegedly made threats towards the Oakland County prosecutor, Karen McDonald. James Crumbly allegedly told a family member over the phone that there would, quote, be retribution, believe me. According to prosecutors on these calls, James called McDonald very derogatory terms and said that he was on a rampage and was going to take her down. And he seemed to hope that the call was being taped and that it would be sent to McDonald. Oh, she heard it. Yes. And that is certainly not too great for him. So with that in mind, let's see what Judge Cheryl Matthews decided with respect to these parents.
I can't and will not pretend to understand the pain the families are experiencing, but I did sit through these trials with you. I saw what you saw. I heard what you heard. So I can and will offer my deepest and most sincere condolences for your unfathomable losses. Parents are not expected to be psychic. But these convictions are not about poor parenting. These convictions confirm repeated acts or lack of acts that could have halted an oncoming runaway train. About repeatedly ignoring things that would make a reasonable person feel the hair on the back of their neck stand up. Opportunity knocked over and over again, louder and louder, and was ignored. No one answered, and these two people should have and sure didn't. Mr. Crumbly, it's clear to this court that because of you, there was unfettered access to a gun or guns, as well as ammunition in your home. You characterized yourself as a martyr and threatened the well-being of the prosecutor. Mrs. Crumbly, you glorified the use and possession of these weapons. Your attitude toward your son and his behaviors was dispassionate and apathetic. Your response to school staff after a 12-minute meeting was, "Are we done here?" During your trial, you announced that you wouldn't do anything different. I understand that that might have been misinterpreted, but it did cut the victims deep. I believe that the following sentences would be in the best interest of justice and are reasonable and proportionate to the seriousness of the matter and the circumstances surrounding each defendant. With regard to Jennifer Crumbly, it is the sentence of this court, Ms. Crumbly, that you serve 10 to 15 years with the Michigan Department of Corrections. As to defendant James Crumbly, it is the sentence of this court that you serve 10 to 15 years with the Michigan Department of Corrections.
No mincing words about that. Each Crumbly sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison, the maximum. That's a state. And let me just end on this as we think about this. This was a very emotionally taxing case, but it is an important case. Does it set a precedent? Yes, absolutely. The first parents to be criminally prosecuted and convicted for manslaughter for a school shooting committed by their child? Will this be a wake-up call for parents to think twice about purchasing a weapon for their children, how it's stored, maybe to check in more on the well-being and mental health of their children? Hopefully. But I have to be clear here because I get asked this question all the time. Does this mean that other parents will now be automatically criminally charged if something like this should happen? Let me say this. The Crumbly case was unique in how bad these sets of facts were, how egregious their conduct was. If I created a textbook example in law school about how parents could be found guilty of manslaughter for their child who committed a school shooting, this would be it. It would be this set of facts. It is right below, in my opinion, them knowing that he was about to commit a mass shooting, which, of course, they would have been brought up probably on murder charges. So as much as Jennifer Crumbly said to the world that you could be next, this could happen to you, I would say, hold on one second. What you did was beyond the pale. What you failed to do crossed the line. And as the jury and family members said, if you and your husband would have just stepped in one time, this could have been prevented. That's all we have for you here on Sidebar, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jesse Weber. Speak to you next time.